Sounds good. Forget, I'm not sure I could. They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting. I'm through.
Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. You can download the Civic Media app from your favorite app store and listen with clarity everywhere that you are. And you can, of course, join our conversation, 844-967-2789. We're going to take a little break from the indictment today and wanted to just break some news. The Wisconsin Senate passed the shared revenue and sales tax bill moments ago on a vote of 21-12. And so I kind of wanted to start there because it's happening in real time. It's absolutely historic in the state. And there's a lot of noise coming from, I think, both sides of the fence. And I've been trying to clarify for a long time that we can condemn portions of the bill, but that the bill must pass and we have to have these revenue solutions for Milwaukee County and the city now, because the alternative would simply be catastrophic, first for the poorest and most vulnerable here in this section of the state, but it would ripple throughout the state, unquestionably negative. And I came across a piece today from a guy that writes the recombobulation area. His name is Dan Schaefer. He's a veteran reporter and a keen observer of all things Wisconsin political. And I wanted to share with you a little bit of Dan's perspective because I think he said things very accurately. And we're going to talk very briefly about this given the vote today. I do want to touch on inflation, but listen, the through line I'm going to draw here is there is a theme to what Republicans engage in when it comes to how the middle class experiences life. And the theme for the GOP is, I do not care about the middle class. I don't care what the talking points are. The facts of what has occurred in these very few days, the last 20 days, simply tell an absolutely irrefutable and convincing story that neither the GOP at the national level nor the GOP here in this state give two whits about regular folk. And you have to get beyond the talking points here. So let's start with this shared revenue and sales tax correction. Okay? And I want to read from Dan Schaefer. He starts and says, in many ways, this bill misses the mark. There is simply not enough funding for local governments across the state. This state's multi-billion dollar budget surplus was in many ways built on the backs of defunding local government, and this bill doesn't go far enough to realign that imbalance. The Milwaukee-specific policy requirements are insulting. Many of these requirements are the type of anti-woke nonsense that has more to do with servicing a conservative media culture war agenda than solving any problems. Some of the requirements seem specifically targeted at progressives and people of color, which is especially problematic in a state with some of the deepest racial disparities seen anywhere in the nation, in a county where nearly 70% of the state's Black population lives. For Milwaukee in particular, this is deeply frustrating. And it's a silly way for the state to govern its largest city, its economic and cultural powerhouse, and the place where so many of the downstream problems created by Republicans upstream tend to end up. This may help Milwaukee avoid falling off a fiscal cliff, but it was state Republicans that pushed Milwaukee to that cliff in the first place. There are far better ways our state government could be putting the city in a position to thrive, not simply spare it from disaster. And yet, for all that's wrong with this bill, it must absolutely 100% has to pass. This and these DEI provisions that the Republicans have put in here, I've talked about them before on this show the callousness with which Republicans regard working poor folks. not just in Milwaukee, because again, as goes Milwaukee, so goes Wisconsin. And the many of the common council members here in Milwaukee, in the city of Milwaukee, took care to critique the provision in the bill that attempts to prohibit the city and the county from engaging in DEI efforts as to employment and contracting. Can join us 844-967-2789. Those common council members called that provision overreaching, micromanaging, and frankly racist. Today, Voss responded, and here's what he said. Liberals want race, color, and gender to be part of everything and almost mandated for what people should believe. That's not what taxpayer dollars should be for, he said. If you want to raise money in the private sector, if you want to have a bake sale or put money into your own ideology, you have every right to do that because we live in America. But it's not the right to use taxpayer dollars to try to push one ideology over another. Holy cow. First of all, you big fat jerk. Bake sale? Really? And second of all, about ideology, that's politics, brother. That's what we're arguing about here. Politics is ideology. It's an expression of values. And to say that you don't value equity and inclusion, that that is somehow problematic, is just terrible. Have an argument with us about how. But let's not argue that those things, all else being equal, make us better as a country. So this is what's going on. They pushed us to the brink. They're acting like we owe them something. And on this same very day, you have Republicans again in the state not meeting the governor's budget for the UW system, this pristine jewel of higher education in this state. And here's what most of us from Wisconsin know and have always been very proud of our higher educational system, that it was attainable and accessible to an average Wisconsinite with a middle-class income. But Republicans have drained funding from that system, forcing tuition raises, now putting many UW degrees out of the reach of the middle class here in this state. And now this, Wisconsin now ranks 42nd among all 50 states in its funding for the public four-year university system. And the Republicans' excuse for not funding it, their excuse is diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. What, pray tell, are we to make of all of this? Come on. You want to perform hate and exclusion? That's what the GOP has become. So that's the through line. Hate and exclusion to the detriment of everyone in the middle class. Jack from Merrimack, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, sir?
Well, yeah. The first thing is that if Voss is going to complain about spending taxpayer dollars on political goals, what about the millions that have been spent on the gerrymandered redistricting and the repeated audits and fraudits that have gone on with this election system?
Yeah, it's all waste. It's terrible. It's being gaslit by a political party, right? Like, watch us burn up dollar bills here. And don't worry, I'm going to touch upon Republicans' current rejection, state Republicans again rejecting the expansion of Medicare to the tune of billions of taxpayer dollars here. All of that, all this election nonsense, shame on them. Thanks for calling in, Jack. Always good to hear from you. So, again, what's the through line? Let's observe it together, shall we? There's no value to diversity or equity or inclusion, and we'll use that as a smokescreen to burn the entire middle class, to burn every local government in the state of Wisconsin, to just maybe help the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County limp along for a little longer, maybe to get through, you know, that big political event that might be happening next summer. And of course, today, many of you will be aware that the Fed left interest rates in place for the first time since spring of 2022. they're saying and indicating that this isn't lasting. There will be other additional interest rate hikes yet this year. But I wanted to pause here because inflation has a real cost for folks that are on a paycheck to paycheck basis. When you don't have savings or you don't have any of the investments that sometimes do see a little bit of upside when inflation ticks up, when everything that you're buying costs more, that hurts. And it's so disingenuous for us to engage in discussions about the relative merits of various administrations' economic plans when at base, we haven't agreed what the economic goal is. I hate it when economists talk about GDP, because what does GDP mean to you? Great, we're making more stuff and selling more stuff. But how does that affect my own household budget? And so I like to look beyond what the GDP numbers may be, beyond what may be happening on an inflationary basis. I look to the policies and the legislation that each party respectively engages in, because macroeconomics is complicated. And I'll never, ever, ever tell you or allow anyone else to try to tell you that one president for one term deserves all the credit in the world, the economy is doing well, or all the blame if it is not. But here's what has been going on. Again, look beyond those macroeconomic things that are hard to translate into how we're experiencing the economy. I say look to the policies of the respective parties. And here's what we see. The GOP in the default deal defunded the IRS. And it's very interesting because a study just came out from Harvard University, the University of Sydney, and the Treasury Department. I'm going to share the results with you when we get back, because boy, this paints a picture. This tells you exactly who the GOP cares about. And here's a little hint. It ain't me and you. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is The Maggie Dawn Show. Keep it locked in. Join us, 844-967-2789. We'll be back in a moment.
They say time heals everything, but I'm still waiting.
Back. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. You can join the discussion, 844-967-2789. I am proposing on the show that if you start to strip down and cut through all of the partisan rhetorical nonsense, and you look at the bills and the political policy positions being taken by the GOP here in this state and the GOP nationally, forget Trump. If you work hard for your money, if you struggle from time to time, if you worry about whether or not your parents will be able to live in a dignified way in their last years, if you worry about you are going to be able to live with dignity, or if you can ever retire, look at what the GOP is doing on policy. Stop listening to the sound bites. They're fun. I hope to drop some myself from time to time. But we got to look at the actual stuff. So I wanted to start with what the GOP extracted. I'm going to put air quotes around that from Joe Biden. In the default deal, and this was $20 billion that was earmarked for the IRS. They're saying, nope, that's not going to go to the IRS. Well, here's what. For every dollar that the IRS spends in auditing, they generally make two. But I'll ask you a question, and I'm going to ask my callers to answer it, even though you didn't hear the question before you got on the line, but that's just part of the fun here. Here's the question I want to ask you. What do you think the return on a dollar is for an audit? Okay. For someone that's, you know, on the lower end of the income scale versus, say, you know, like the top 0.1%. Okay. Like just roughly what it might be. So I'm going to ask my friend Steven from Green Bay. You want to hazard a guess on this?
Well, if I know anything about the way politics works, I'm going to say the less money you make, the less return on that dollar you're getting, and the top 1% is probably getting the most return on that dollar.
Yes, right? It would stand to reason. And so we decide to not fund the IRS with $20 billion. It doesn't make any sense to me from an economic basis. Those $20 billion would return, and this study sort of figured out how much of it would go to actual auditing and things like that. And if they actually focused it on auditing the top 1%, it would pay for itself. But the GOP opposes that. I mean, what's your take on all this? Do you see a through line, Stephen, for the GOP?
Well, here's the thing. I was a conservative at one point before I started doing my own research and decided to become a progressive. But I will say this. The Republican Party post-Trump is no longer the Republican Party. They haven't been the Republican Party since he won the election, in my opinion. And they do not care about the little guy because all of their big donors in the Republican Party are the top 1%. So their whole platform is take care of the top 1%. We don't give a damn about the people that are scraping by, living paycheck to paycheck, but they know they can't win elections that way. So instead of just coming out and being honest and saying, this is the group of people we care about, they're, oh, look at the Democrats are doing this, the Democrats are doing that. Oh, we're going to scare them into thinking the Democrats are doing this. And that's been their whole platform for the past 5-6 years. And it's just laughable. And the amount of people that fall for it, it's kind of sad, to be honest with you.
How do we change their minds?
I think it's up to us as you know, voters and to inform people. I happen to have an opportunity where I work in a space where I come in contact with a lot of people. And if the opportunity presents itself, I definitely make sure to talk to them and let them know the difference between what their what the Republicans are doing versus the Democrats. And you know, it's not even close. It's quite stark, the difference between the two parties right now.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Stephen. Please keep listening. Thank you for your call. And I want to really hit something that Stephen said. If you think we're getting even some of this right, me, the folks that you also hear from on civic media, talk to the people in your circle about it. Talk to the people that you think might listen to you, because it's through that level of person-to-person discussion, and keep it kind, keep it stuck on the values, right? If we all did that a little bit more and stopped being afraid of what are the most important discussions I think our country has had in at least a generation, we start to change hearts and minds. It sometimes feels not like it's possible, but we have to continue to invest the time, effort, and energy to help share facts. So I'm just going to give you the punchline here. So sometimes they'll actually lose a little money auditing the poorest folks on the income scale. But for around every dollar that's returned for middle-class audits, in other words, almost at a break even, here's what. The IRS returns $3.18 for each dollar spent auditing the top 1% and double that amount for the top 0.1%. And here's the other thing. When you audit really rich people and corporations, they have also found that those corporations and rich folks also tend to pay more taxes for the years after the audit. because they don't want to get busted. But let's not forget, you know, the GOP doesn't want to fund that. I'm Maggie Dawn. I'm going to tell you about the last two most disgusting and troubling of policies that tell you right where the GOP is at. When we're back, you've been listening to The Maggie Dawn Show. I am Maggie Dawn, and you can join the conversation if you are on the line. Hold 844-967-2789. I am Maggie Dawn, and this is The Maggie Dawn Show. Thank you for listening. Keep it locked in and join the conversation, 844-967-2789. If you've got opinions and you've never called into a radio show before, I want you to call. Pick up the phone and give me a buzz. Because trust me, you've got just as much to say as anybody else. 844-967-2789. So I couldn't have said it any better than Stephen. Former conservative figured out that the GOP just serves the donor class and everything else is just distraction. Yep, that's probably it. Hope you don't mind, Stephen. You're probably going to be in an ad for my show. But in all seriousness, let's look at the other two policy positions, one of the national GOP, one of the state GOP, that hurt me and you and everybody in the middle class. Okay? Because just recently, the GOP on the national level introduced three tax bills. Okay, they're probably never going to become law. But I want us to just take a moment to observe what the combined three tax bills introduced by Republicans in Washington, D.C., what the effect of these tax bills would be. This is based on an analysis that just came out on June 11th. By the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. Here's what the tax bills would do. Everybody ready? Tax cuts, of course, are going to go to the richest 1% of Americans. Oh, and foreign investors. What, pray tell, might the details be? I'll read on. Under the legislation, the richest fifth of Americans would receive $60.8 billion. In tax cuts next year, while the poorest fifth of Americans would receive only $1.4 billion in tax cuts. So the richest 20% of us get $60 billion, and the poorest 20% of us, we get about $1.5 billion. Does that make sense to you? Does that like sit right? I'll keep, and don't give me like job creator. To the like 60 to one job creator? Come on now. That's just nonsense. I got to keep reading. Foreign investors, they'd get $23.8 billion in corporate tax cuts next year. That's nice. So poorest 20% of us, $1 billion. Foreign investors, $24 billion. Okay, 24 to one. Lovely. The only group receiving more than foreign investors next year would be the richest 1%. So just the richest 1% now, just focusing on them, not the richest 20%. That's the $60.8 billion. But just the richest 1%, they get $28.4 billion. So let's pause together. The poorest 20% of us get $1.5 billion, according to Republicans, in tax breaks. The poorest 20% of us would get $1.5 billion in tax breaks. And the richest 1% of us, yeah, they get $28.4 billion. 28 to 1. 20% to 1%. I'm not done. The legislation includes an increase in the standard deduction that would help some middle-income taxpayers, but would do little for those who are in most need of help. As a result, the poorest fifth of Americans would receive an average tax cut of just $40 next year, while the richest 1% would receive an average tax cut of $16,000. That's what the GOP thinks about the middle class. Don't listen to the rhetoric. Look at what they want to enact. And we can't leave this point without talking about the fact that Wisconsin Republicans yet again are going to refuse to expand Medicaid in the state of Wisconsin. Doing so would save $1.6 billion in savings in taxpayer dollars, and it would get nearly 90,000 additional Wisconsinites health insurance. And they say no. They said no 2 years ago, and they're saying no again. That's all you need to know about what the GOP thinks about you. I'm Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked in. We got the last segment. Join us. 844-967-2789 here on Civic Media.
We're still partying. We're not out quite yet.
Oh, we're not? I get it wrong? Oh, that's, 40. I got a whole nother 10 minutes
that's
to
right.
talk about Medicaid.
We're partying.
So excited, Evan. Thank you. You know, 38, 48, I just get really excited.
Well, I mean,
yeah.
It's
go ahead.
It's how well you sort of follow. Not even follow, you lead, right? You just take it, and it's yours.
I very much appreciate that.
Yeah.
But those are the two biggest highlight points about Medicaid, right? It's $1.6 billion less that we're going to spend, and we get an additional 90,000 people covered. I mean, is the math hard there? And Wisconsin Republicans continue to say no. And here's what. That additional 90,000 individuals that are going to be covered are single individuals. That's generally how this would work. It's sort of a new category of Medicaid coverage. And historically, we have observed that 45% of adults without dependent children are employed. Those that enroll in Badger Care do so because they're underemployed, right? And they don't have health insurance through their jobs. So think of everybody that works at a fast food joint. Most folks in the service industry, right? That's what we're talking about. So the GOP wants to tell 90,000 Wisconsinites to go kick rocks. And we know at least half of them are working poor. That's what the Wisconsin GOP caucus, the Republicans here, think about the middle class. Have you ever gone without insurance? Because I have. That one's fun, isn't it? I drive differently. Freaks me out. Like I can't get in an accident. Now, keep in mind this. Wisconsin is only one of 10 states that hasn't taken the Medicaid expansion, because that's how simple it is. Of those 40 states, a bunch of them are GOP red states. They took the money. Here's who we're in company with. You know, the other states that haven't done this. See if you ever want to be on this list as a state. And I'm going to just ahead of time, Evan, apologize to anybody who's from these states. But I make this observation simply because things like infant mortality, literacy, life expectancy are very low collectively in these states. Here are the states that we're in such great company with. Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, Kansas, and Wyoming. That's not company that I want to be in. If I'm a Wisconsinite. Now, here's the interesting thing. This guy from the Cato Institute wrote a little editorial in the Journal Sentinel, sort of urging, bolstering Wisconsin Republicans to not get 90,000 more Wisconsinites health insurance. And he sort of breaks down how the plan works. And here's his reason that we shouldn't do this. Are you ready? This is this very important guy from the Cato Institute. This calculation, basically the math that like this saves us a ton of money. This calculation rests on a crucial assumption. Are we ready? Here's how he's going to show us that this absolutely makes no sense. Okay. Rests on a crucial assumption that the federal government will not eventually reduce the Medicaid expansion funding percentage to the standard rate applied to other beneficiaries. Basically, what he's saying is the federal government may not pay for it so much someday in the future. Okay, that's what he's saying. Maybe the law might change someday in the future. By the way, like two sentences later, he says, while it is true that under current federal law, the enhanced Medicaid contribution of 90% for the expansion population is permanent, it is also true that laws are subject to change. You know, like sometime maybe in the future, maybe, I don't know.
Oh, they cannot.
Do you have
wait.
A magic eight ball?
They cannot like, wait.
This is like really smart guy from the kid. This is the core of the GOP argument about why we shouldn't get 90,000 more Wisconsinites health insurance. Because maybe someday the law might change, but right now I acknowledge that the law is permanent. That's his argument. I want to read it to you again, though, because like the wordiness here, it's sort of, if he out-wonks us, maybe we won't understand.
That really, though?
Truly, that's what he's doing. I love it when economist types do this. I'll use big words and everybody will just stop listening and think I'm smart. Here's what smart guy has to say. The GOP isn't really screwing middle-class Wisconsinites. And it's really not important to get 90,000 Wisconsinites health insurance and save $1.6 billion of our taxpayer dollars because the federal government will not eventually reduce the expansion of the percentage reimbursement to the standard rate applied to other beneficiaries. Someday, maybe, somewhere over the rainbow, the federal government may someday reduce the expansion. Okay. And then two sentences later, while it is true that under current law, the enhanced benefits for the expansion populations are permanent. That's the argument. This is why we won't help middle-class Wisconsinites and save all of us $1.6 billion in taxes.
Wow.
And it's cold, designed. Right? Yeah, it is cold. You take that in the tax bill and I'm like, okay, who wants to argue? Tell me that, please show me how the GOP cares about anything that's real to me and you. No, they want you to think that children under the age of 18, in other words, minors, are getting sex change operations. By the way, probably going to get the exact acronym wrong, but the World Health Organization that addresses transgender care, its guideline says no one under 18 should ever get a surgical gender reassignment.
Yes.
So all of this hubbub, and that's basically been adopted by the American Medical Association, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So all of this nonsense, yeah, that's garbage. Don't pay attention to the fact that we want the richest 1% to get $28 billion in tax breaks while we give the poorest 20% of us $1.6 billion in tax breaks. 28 to 1. Don't mind that we could save the state of Wisconsin $1.6 billion in taxes and better fund the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County and give 90,000 more Wisconsinites health care. No, screw you guys. Let's talk about DEI policies. Let's defund the University of Wisconsin system. Bogus, distracting garbage, not based in reality. Evan, is Terry ready to go?
Let's see here. Yes, yes.
Hey, Terry. It's the Maggie Dawn Show. Please join. What do you have to say?
Well, Maggie, I know firsthand. I'm a 68-year-old county worker who...
Thank you for your service, Terry.
No, it's not me. It's a friend of mine that worked for the county. But anyway, he gets the $35 insulin now because he was not getting it before because he couldn't afford it, he told me.
Yep.
Now he's getting it because, and I said, you got Joe Biden to thank for that. Grumble. And
he sure does, Terry. You know. He sure does have Joe Biden to thank for that. We should do an entire show just on prescription drug policy, Evan. Like the whole thing.
But
start with Obama, start with the ACA. Go through each of the presidents. Thanks so much for the call, Terry. We got time. Maybe if we're quick, Bob from the East Coast. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What say you, sir?
I just finished delivering meals to the homeless on Milwaukee's near west side. The very wealthy are very myopic, blind, in not noticing that when money is in the hands of the lower class, the middle class, they spend it.
Correct. That is the rock hard truth, Bob. Sorry, we got to go to break. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. I want to hear from each and every one of you. Bob, if you hang on, I'll go back to you after the break. You can join us. Tell me what you think about the GOP fleecing of the middle class and not giving a rip about most of us, except if you're the top 1% or 0.1%. Republicans trampling all over my heart. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Maggie Dawn Show. Join us for this last segment of the day, 844-967-2789. Bob, I'm going to come back to you. Just wanted to share one other little fact. Talking about the fact that for the second time, Wisconsin Republicans are going to refuse to expand Medicaid, which is going to frankly cost taxpayers $1.6 billion, because $1.6 billion not saved is effectively an economic loss. And it's going to keep 90,000 Wisconsinites from getting insurance. And here's what. There's a study that I found, and it says that the conclusion, the big takeaway was this. People who were unemployed and looking for work when they gained Medicaid expansion coverage, said that made the task of getting work easier. And of that group, those that became employed, half said that because they had Medicaid, it made staying employed easier. So if you're about them bootstraps, you know, expand Medicaid. Bob, my friend, I had to cut you off because we had to go pay the bills. What else would you like to share?
Well, I understand the deal. Well, so when the poor and the middle class have money, they spend it. They can't avoid it. That stimulates the economy entirely. Money goes right straight up to the wealthy. The other thing, I'm taken aback by is that any of the money that the city and county are getting has to be spent on the police or fire.
Thanks very much for that, Bob. I just want to hop in here, having a little bit of a hard time hearing you, Bob, because of the background noise. But let's talk about that for a minute. Yes, there are provisions in the shared revenue and sales tax bill. This is what Bob is referencing, that place limits on what the spending can be used on. But because dollars are fungible, the economic reality here is that it's a dollar saved that wouldn't otherwise be spent. Right. So if we would have had to spend it anyways, and now we've got an additional revenue source, it all kind of comes out in the wash. The trick for the city of Milwaukee is that they do have a maintenance of effort provision related to sworn police officers. So it effectively locks in a cost structure, if you will, which makes the overall impact of the sales tax and shared revenue increase for the city quite a bit less, though without it, the city simply wouldn't survive for much longer. Mark from the SAC, I want to hear from you before we run out of time, my friend. How are you today, and what are your thoughts?
I'm doing okay, and it's a shame the Republicans don't recognize this, because we recognize this. I was in the same union as the revenue auditors here in the state of Wisconsin, and they were frankly made the point, if we hire more revenue auditors, it earns far more in dollars brought in that it costs the state to when they invest in having more revenue auditors. I mean, that's just a pure and simple fact. And part of the problem is, I think the Republicans now, they've Ayn Rand is the golden goddess that they worship. You know, they've exhumed her corpse and they worship her corpse, kissing the feet as they bow down and worship to a woman who did not believe in democracy, who believed that the social ideas, you know, practiced in New Testament Christianity is, you know, to take care of the poor, take care of your fellow man. She did not believe in society itself. She more or less said, we're all just a collection of individuals and living by tooth and claw, and you claw up your own as much as you can grab, as much as you can get. And that's how, unless you're doing that, unless you're, if you're practicing any kind of altruism at all, you're betraying the cosmos itself by not trying to grab as much as you can from the rest of society, ignoring the fact that during the Depression, if I understand it right, she was paid by the Works Progress Administration to produce writing. And at the end of
Ayn Rand, thanks for the call, Mark. Ayn Rand is a really interesting character. She came from a very well-to-do family. And what Mark's referring to is the philosophical and economic theory reality that you can't in one breath call yourself a Christian and in the next breath say that you're a disciple of Ayn Rand. They are not compatible ideologies. And Paul Ryan, I'm talking to you, man, because that was his big thing, right? This very like non-threatening schoolboy in the like navy blue blazer and khaki pants. I'm a good Christian and I love Ayn Rand. Yeah, that doesn't wash, Paul. He was a prime example of someone who trot out the fancy charts and graphs, use big words so nobody actually could understand what he was saying. He's been an interesting character to watch, especially vis-a-vis Donald Trump. I mean, so is Chris Christie, right? So I'm going to tease up the show for tomorrow. Listen, me and Evan have been working to put together some really nice sound to sort of bring the absurdity of the moment right now to an oral head for us all. Tune in tomorrow. I'm going to call it Talk Back Thursdays. Evan and I are going to share what we think is the hottest, juiciest moments from the week. And we want to hear what you think about them. But there's going to be some good ones. I mean, Paul Ryan's basically been out, you know, calling Trump very problematic.
They're
after
too
the
good. They're so
indictment.
Good. It's been changing and shifting literally by the hour.
Because they keep saying more stuff.
It's amazing.
Because remember on Monday, Evan, when I said the question of the day basically was, is the Trump indictment going to cleave the GOP in two? And I believed that it was going, you know, I sort of indicated that I think it is going to and that we were seeing these rumblings.
I think you asked CJ, in fact.
Go ahead.
I think you asked CJ that question. Is it going to cleave the GOP in two? And,
he went off on some tangent.
Yeah, because I think he knows. Deep down, he knows. This is pretty big.
I don't know why, you know, this is, if you ever wanted out from the albatross that is, it's Donald Trump, like in your friend group, right? You're like, oh, I've been taking credibility hits now for a while. I need some sort of fig leaf to say to them, I just can't abide it anymore. He's given you that. It is on a silver platter. Like, pick up the brass ring, use whatever tortured metaphor that you would like, but whatever you do, just use this opportunity to disavow the man. He is a menace to national security. As I put it yesterday, the victims of his crimes that he has been charged with are all of us, each and every one of us. When a man thinks that the United States and our freedoms, liberties, democratic institutions, and safeties are like the Lincoln Logs, the Legos of his childhood, yore to play with, because that's what he was doing with this stuff. It was in a bathroom.
This really blew up. Oh, it's beautiful. It's just beautiful.
It's just beautiful documents. Listen, we're going to put it all together for you on Thursday. We're going to call it Talk Back Thursday, where we get to hear from you. I'm Maggie Dawn. Thank you, Evan. You've been listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on Civic Media. Thank you for listening. 'Cause if you wanna try